This is Orlando. This is where we believe in magic.
Welcome to Zoneheads Orlando, the podcast of the Orlando sports fan.
They try to run her over. Fouché got it to go. Oh, Cole Anthony hit the deck for good measure.
Here with NFL reporter from ESPN, Jeremy Fowler, joining us on the show this afternoon, live from the NFL owners' meetings, annual meetings. You know, when I first got here, I called it the owners' meetings, and I see annual meetings all over the place. They've rebranded a little bit. So do you kind of find yourself kind of floating back and forth between
Still the owners' meetings.
Okay.
We're going to stay true to that. That's what I call it.
So how have you enjoyed your time here so far? What do you feel like you've gotten out of it, by and large?
You know, I always enjoy these meetings for just being able to run into general managers and head coaches and owners when they're not stressed out. It's not mid-season. You know, it's late March. Everybody's good. You know, you got the draft coming up, but, you know, free agency is sort of over, so there's like a level of de-stress. So you can talk to them about the game. You can talk to them about their team plans, and it's, you know, it's a good environment for that, just to catch up with people and kind of work ahead on either some stories you got or some news you're trying to develop and things like that.
So I do want to talk about some of the NFL side of things for the time that I have you, but I come to understand that you're a Florida Gator, which I think I might have already known that about you. Somebody had pointed it out.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just tell me before we hopped on that you're from Windermere.
Yeah, man.
So you're Orlando through and through.
So I am Windermere Elementary, Lakeview Middle School, West Orange High School. Like, I got it all covered, man. I grew up here, yeah. So this is it's always good to be back, especially I live in Connecticut now, so I'll take 76 and sunny all day.
This you definitely came down a good weather portion of the year. How often do you make it back home?
Not as much. My family is in South Carolina now, and so, you know, I still have friends here. I love coming back, so, but I usually only come back for work or if we go to Disney World, you know, which is, we usually try to get back once a year for that.
So we've seen a lot of rule changes within the last 24 hours here at the NFL owners' meetings. Kickoff rule, that was the big one here today, and it does seem like I was in there for Roger Goodell's media availability. They're remaining very open-minded to this.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like there's this concrete confidence in this. Do you get that same sense?
Well, Goodell sort of suppressed any confidence when he said, well, we're going to tweak this and this is going to be a moving target, you know. So I sense that. Really, what it came down to is they knew what they did last year was untenable for 2024. They had to do something else. And so they got these special teams coaches all together over the last really couple years to start hashing out best plan they could. They figured, hey, XFL with some tweaks. And that's kind of where we're at. You know, they put a lot of thought into it. I think they had to sway some owners here. You know, I think yesterday was probably more like 19-13, ended up being 29-3, you know. So they had some victories over the last 24 hours to sway some owners to get there. We'll see. You know, I'm intrigued, but I'm still learning about it. I mean, I think, like, throughout the press conference and then talking to people, like, it is a moving target for everybody, you know, because they were originally going to have it where if you kick it into the end zone for a traditional touchback, the ball would start on the 35-yard line.
That's what I had heard, but they didn't settle on that.
They
think it was on the 30.
They settled on the 30, which I think is significant because, you know, most kickers now in the league can boot it out of the end zone, and maybe 30 yards isn't a big deal to them. So then if you're going to have a bunch of touchbacks again like last year. That's my concern a little bit, but I think they're hoping that won't be nearly as bad as what last year was.
You know, it is crazy when you think about it, the kick returner has really been removed from the game. And when I was growing up, I'm sure when you were growing up too, I think we're around the same age, that was a huge – those were some of the biggest stars on the team. You know, you talk about like a Dante Hall or a Devin Hester, guys like that, Desmond Howard and what he did at the collegiate level. And I can't even think of who's my favorite kick returner to watch in the league.
They're still good ones, for sure.
Yeah.
They just don't get as many opportunities. I think I was talking to Dennis Allen, the Saints coach. He's like, we've lost 30,000 yards of football because the kickoffs, it used to be like 45,000, and now it's below 15,000 per year in kickoffs. So it's just, it's almost non-existent. There are some good ones. You know, Dallas got a good one, a few others. But they're, it's not like Devin Hester days where – you know, anytime he touched the ball, there was a danger of taking it to the house. You know, it's a little different now.
So who have been some of your favorite coaches to interact with during your time here? Because it is so different. You've got, you know, all the access in the world with your affiliation with ESPN. You do a great job, by the way.
Thank you.
But this is a different setting. Everybody's a little more laid back and relaxed. I mean, I was there this morning for the NFC availability. We're just kicked back. It's like you're having breakfast with the guys. Who have you enjoyed talking to over this span, and you feel like, you know, you've learned the most from?
That's a good question, because I kind of bounce around probably too much. But I like talking to the new coaches just to kind of see what they're about. You know, Brian Callahan in Tennessee, Dave Canales in Carolina, some of those folks. You know, it's good to kind of, you know, younger guys that have a vision for what they want to do, offensive guys. So I'm interested in that. Dan Campbell's always a good listen. You know, popped over to his table for a little bit. You know, he's one of the best as far as a quote machine, you know.
And he was easy to get audio from, too, on the, you know, the radio side of things, because not all of these coaches project. Dan, I had no issues. I could have stood on the other side of the table. I was still getting picked up.
He is a microphone's dream, for sure. And then the Florida guys were holding court. They had a big crowd for Todd Bowles, big crowd for Doug Peterson yesterday.
That was a sellout crowd at the Bowles table.
I was about to say. Yeah. You should, I think if they were in Arizona, it probably wouldn't be the same outcome. You know, it's a home game for Todd a little bit being in Tampa, so.
Well, I appreciate the time, but last thing before I cut you loose, Billy Napier, do you have faith this is going to work out for the Gators?
Ooh, you know, I think – I hope so. You know, it'd be good to see a little revival here. Looks like they got a good quarterback coming in, from what I understand. You know, I just don't know if the recruiting's quite there right now. I'm a little concerned about that. I can't say I follow it like a diehard, because I'm so immersed in the NFL. Sometimes I remove myself from college a little bit, but – from what I've seen, it doesn't look great. You know, I'm hopeful. Well,
even if you're not in the weeds, I think you've got the right read on this.
Yeah, so. I'm hopeful. It sounds like Steve Spurrier was critical recently of the team. You know, so stuff like that's kind of – the walls are closing in a little bit. But I know he's a good coach. He, you know, it's just a matter of can you get the players in there.
Well, Jeremy, I really appreciate you taking the time to do this. I bumped into you earlier, asked if you had some time, and you made it work. I really appreciate that. You didn't have to do that.
Yeah, anytime, man.
It means a lot.
Yeah, thanks for anything for O-Town, baby.
There you go. Windermere's finest, Jeremy Fowler. Here live with Dave Ferronis, who covers the Miami Dolphins for the Florida Sun Sentinel, my old home turf. Here from the NFL owners meeting. So now I run into you, and this is the beauty of social media, Dave, is that you and I have never met each other in person. You've been on my show, on this show, several times. And because of either selfies or Twitter avatars, I'm like, I think that's Dave Ferronis right there. So I wanted to chop it up with you. How are things going?
Good. Yeah. I'm the Miami Cuban-American that's walking around NFL annual meeting here in Orlando. So pretty recognizable. So you maybe it caught my beard from the side and figured out it was me. So good to meet you in person. Long time. Long time. It's just a listener and caller.
Well, I appreciate that.
The program, so.
First time, long time for...
And first time in person. So.
Oh, yes, exactly. One of the regular contributors to our show. We appreciate everything you've brought over the years. I grew up a Dolphins fan, and certainly one of, if not the most popular NFL team in the city of Orlando is still the Miami Dolphins because of how early they laid their roots down. Do you notice any sort of, you know, you got your finger on the pulse of Finns Nation, that there is a lot of support coming from the Central Florida area, that it's not just condensed to Broward and Dade County as far as the folks that follow you and read your stuff?
Oh, certainly, throughout the state. And then not only that, Dolphins fans, I noticed this when I got on the beat, they really have not only a national but even international fan base and following. You especially see it internationally. London, obviously the games over there that the Dolphins have played, I think they're second to the Jacksonville Jaguars in terms of games played in London, and it played in Germany last year. I saw plenty of European Dolphins fans that traveled from all over the continent over there. So they have marketing rights in Brazil. Just added Argentina, Mexico, and Colombia marketing rights just today. This was news that just came out moments ago. So Dolphins really, and what better team to market than from Miami, which is already a multicultural melting pot sort of city.
So I saw some of the pictures and videos. It was a little too early for my blood with everything else going on, but I saw the AFC coaches were made available this morning. here at the JW. Was there anything that you picked up from your conversation with Mike McDaniel from this morning? What was the main focus of that conversation?
Yeah, sure. Well, the conversation went so many different ways. There's so many questions that we have to ask from. We haven't spoken to him since before free agency started. So all these moves we're catching up on. And the big thing right now that Dolphins fans are watching for is Odell Beckham Jr. Of course, he visited over the past week. And then Mike McDaniel did say that the team did make him an offer. So he still has options. Mike McDaniel said of Odell Beckham that he has other options and he's going to be weighing them out. And I think both sides are taking their time. So, we got him on record saying, the Dolphins have offered him and that Mike McDaniel would love to coach him, too. So,
I know OBJ wants the big money. I think he even said as much when he became a free agent. I'm just looking for the biggest deal. But, man, Miami and Odell Beckham Jr. is like a match made in heaven. He loves it down there.
Yeah. For a wide receiver three to have behind Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, Odell Beckham Jr., it's long since his superstar status of, reaching back for that touchdown that you saw, that highlight reel Sunday night catch with the Giants. And his last Pro Bowl was 2016. Last 1,000-yard season was 2019. And some believe that a bigger receiver could complement Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle better. But still, Mike McDaniel could work wonders with that trio. So it's no telling he would love to have him. And, Odell Beckham wants his money. He got that $15 million deal last year. The Dolphins aren't going to touch anywhere near that. Yeah, Odell got it with the Baltimore Ravens. Dolphins are trying to find economical choices to make across the board, so they're not going to be big spending. They've cleared up some more space recently with a Bradley Chubb restructure, but it's still to maintain a lot of flexibility. They still have to actually tack on a lot of the contracts they've already agreed to, so some of those aren't accounted for in their current salary cap figure.
We're talking to Dave Ferones. He covers the Miami Dolphins for the Sun Sentinel down in South Florida. He has lost a lot of starting pieces through free agency. When you look on the offensive line and the defense, Xavien Howard, Robert Hunt, it was like I saw somebody had said this, that for the first 4 hours of free agency, the Dolphins lost a starter every hour. So how do they recoup that? Like, does this have to be just a home run of a draft? Because they did have to go cheaper in some areas. Still a load of talent on the roster, but what it says to me is that last year was supposed to be the year, and it didn't happen. Fell short on Monday Night Football against the Tennessee Titans. All of a sudden, trickle effect, that turns into a -20 game in Kansas City, and we all knew how that was going to end. So does it start? Kind of feel like the window, it's not closed. They have too much talent for that, but where the window maybe is a little bit tighter than it was a year ago.
It keeps getting tighter year after year, so it kind of felt that way a little bit last year. You knew this, some have called it capocalypse is coming with the salary cap, and it only gets more difficult as you get further down the line. Now, right now you have Tyreek Hill at 30 years old. You have Jalen Ramsey at 29 years old. Teron Armstead, who you brought in a couple years ago in free agency, he's contemplating retirement. He was even thinking about it this year, so this could be his last season. So a lot of these top-tier veterans that you're paying big money to, they're getting toward the end. Bradley Chubb, another one. You traded a first-round pick for him mid-season, 22, and he's coming off his ACL injury. So a lot of these higher-priced free agents and big-money moves that they've made, now is the time with these guys. So it's still very much a win-now approach, and then a lot of that is also reflected in its veteran signings that they got a little bit cheaper, trying to revitalize guys who maybe a few years ago, like a Shaq Barrett with Tampa, had 19 and a half sacks. He's not going to do that right now, but if you could just rekindle some of that, a Jordan Poyer, who's a former All-Pro and Pro Bowler and now switching division rivals from the Buffalo Bills, Kendall Fuller you get as your replacement, a little bit more cheaper than Xavien Howard, who you free up $18.5 million post-June 1 by releasing him with that designation. So, yeah, it's going to be a lot of turnover on the defensive side and a lot of key parts that have gotten the Dolphins to this point where they're now perennial playoff contenders, now trying to take a next step into advancing deep into the playoffs and Super Bowl contenders. And it's got to be now because also if you're going to pay two of that big money, then it's going to be even
it's
more
only
difficult
get worse.
To maneuver once you're up against that. And we already saw some of it with Christian Wilkins having to part ways with him, Rob Hunt, Andrew Van Ginkle they wanted as an outside linebacker. He goes to Minnesota. So those moves are stacking up.
Brandon Kristol, you have heard on our show from KOA Colorado, covers the NFL for Fox Sports Radio. And he's actually the one that suggested that, hey, why don't you come and do your show from out at the NFL owners meetings. It sounded like such a good idea. Here I am, and here he is, here at the table with me. So this is pretty cool, just being here and also getting to meet you in person for the first time after like 10 or so radio conversations. This is it's a neat part of the job.
No, absolutely. And when you do this long enough, you are at events and you get to meet people. But the way it works, sometimes you just don't cross paths with everybody. And when you do it for a long time, you will go as a guest in another market or have someone on all the time that you just haven't met for whatever reason. And then when you finally get to, you're like, all right, check that box off. Oh, let's go hang out. Let's go have a beer and let the NFL owners pay for it. So I think that's going to be even better. I know my guy Keith, who's a big listener to your show and is from Colorado and a huge Broncos fan. And
that's right. He reaches out to me all the time.
Yeah, he picked me up at the airport yesterday, and we kind of wandered around here just catching up or whatever. This has got to be his favorite radio segment now of all time, to know that we're hanging out here face to face.
That's right. So I am going to need some pointers. So later tonight is the cocktail party.
Invite only. So as much as you love your listeners, they're not getting in there. Don't think you're sneaking in to hobnob with the owners and the coaches. But
well, we'll do it. Oh, yeah. Right? We can do that. So you've done this rigmarole before. What do I have to look forward to, expect tonight as we hobnob with people far richer than us?
It really is a strange thing. And the first time I came to the owners' meetings, I want to say it was 2017 in Phoenix, and somebody said, hey, BK, you going to the cocktail reception tonight? And I had no idea what they were talking about. They said, oh, yeah, we have everyone that's credentialed gets invited, and so you just come hang out or whatever. And to call it a cocktail reception is underselling what it is, or I don't know how to quantify it, but the NFL owners, when it comes to the owner specifically, they don't do anything. The NFL doesn't approach it half-assed. So it's not a sit-down meal where everyone's getting a filet, but will there be filet there available at a carving station? I'd bet. Or high-end sushi and king crab legs and all that, and a bunch of open bars. And so you and I might be sitting there at the bar just waiting for a drink, and Clark Hunt will be standing right behind us, and Mike Tomlin and Kyle Shanahan will be yucking it up 2 feet away, and John Lynch, and he used to be John Elway, you know, who obviously are pals for a long time. And then John Mara's over here, and Steve Bisciotti's holding court, and Jerry and Stephen Jones, and Stan Kroenke and Josh. It's wild. Like last year, Stan Kroenke and Josh Kroenke just sat at one of the bars in Phoenix, and Stan watched the Nuggets game on his phone, and Josh was watching the Avalanche on his phone.
That's great.
They didn't care that there was a party going on around him, where people were coming up kind of just trying to talk to him or catch up. Plus, all of the national TV folks are here. So Troy Aikman and Joe Buck are here, and I imagine we'll see Tony Romo perhaps, and Mike Tirico and the whole NBC crew is here. Collinsworth and Devin McCourty, who's part of that show, is just kind of wandering around taking it all in. And then they also have, like, DeAndre Hopkins spoke today on behalf of the league. He'll probably be around. So it's a fascinating few hours that's unlike anything else you'll have the rest of the calendar year. And it's very odd that they let us come. And so as long as guys don't pull out their phones to record anything or notebooks or, you know, they can just be cool
just
or try
there
to be
to
cool.
Observe and eat and king crab.
And you can interact, right? That's the thing, too. You got to remember, yes, the 31 owners and their ownership groups and their families, they're different than the rest of us. But even coaches, GMs, they eat, sleep, and breathe football, but they still have to eat, right? And they still want to have a soda pop. They want to have a beer. They want to have a glass of wine. So even though we put our heroes on pedestals, that's why we love sports so much, certainly as kids, right? We had our favorite teams we cheered for. Certainly adults not only are betting on it, but live and die when their team wins. It's a much better Sunday night, Monday morning, or if their team's going to be in a playoff run in a given sport. But they are still regular people. And so when you can approach it like that and have a human moment with them where you're not interviewing them, where you're not trying to ask them about a new stadium in Kansas City or raising ticket prices after a losing season in Denver, it can just be nice to talk to people like normal people for a few minutes.
Right. Yeah. And well, you know, that's a great way to approach it tonight. I do wonder if Clark Hunt is going to have to answer questions at some point while he's here about how poorly the Kansas City Chiefs graded in that players association report that came out, because that did not speak glowingly about them.
Well, and not only that, you then add to it their president, Mark McIntosh, was interviewed by one of the TV stations about a new stadium, And he said, yeah, we're going to need taxpayer money to figure this out, or maybe we'll have to move, insinuating not move buildings, like move cities. When the Hunt family is estimated to be worth about $25 billion, that's a tough pill to swallow for voters in Kansas City, Missouri, and on the Kansas side that would probably split the tax, however it gets broken down, wherever they put the stadium. And so that, to me, is plays into the criticism of his ownership group. When I covered the Chiefs back in 2003, and they went 13-3, lost to the Peyton Manning-led Colts 38-35 in a playoff game with no punts in the second round. But it was Trent Green, Priest Holmes, all those guys. And they were still practicing where their facility is now, but it's at the edge of that complex where the Chiefs and Royals play there in Kansas City, right near Blue Springs. They didn't have a locker room down there, so they were using a stadium locker room, which the Bengals do. Some teams do that because of where their fields are. They don't need a second locker room. Players, they had a shuttle, but players would drive to practice like they were in, like it was their parents driving them in junior high or high school. Like, I would see Tony Gonzalez in a $100,000 Mercedes after a muddy practice, like in his shoulder pads, driving back up from the, you know, it's a 5-minute drive, or not even 3-minute drive, but because, and so they finally added a locker room there, but that's about it. And their locker room, which has been redone, it's still one of the smaller spaces. They have the worst visiting locker room in the league, or close to it. So, yeah, I got to think if someone can corner Clark Hunt, especially on the record, he's going to have to answer a couple of those type of questions.
Yeah, it's you know, it's almost like they're able to get away with it because they've been so good. So they go, well, yeah, but we're successful. So, you know, college football programs, and a lot of them in the South, they fell victim to this because they didn't feel like they needed to keep up with the Joneses, because they're like, well, we get all the best players anyway. And then all of a sudden, it catches up with you. The Gators are trying to find their way out of that. So today, one of the things that has come out of this location where we're at right here at the JW Marriott are a couple of NFL rule changes. The one that seems to be the most controversial is the hip drop tackle. Where do you land on that being taken out of the game? Because, you know, the numbers back up this is a really unsafe tackle by a pretty large percentage compared to others. But every rule that is implemented, all it does is favor the offense, and it there. I think it's fair to question what are we doing to the game, and what can defenders really do in order to not cause themselves a penalty or a fine. So, what was your reaction when you saw that?
I'm not surprised at all. And technically, it was already illegal, right? It could have been flagged, and now it's been banned. And so, I guess you'll see what the stipulations are that come with that. And Sean Payton was talking about today that they're all. Are always an unintended consequences. So our players going to end up getting ejected for getting turned and relying on their body weight to pull a guy down. But
I also think it's highly subjective.
Well, right. How do you
anytime
decide?
You and they did this with the using your body weight as a defensive lineman or defensive player on a quarterback. It's so subjective of how much body weight you're using. That's not something that you can measure. This isn't a scale at the grocery store. You can't measure it in the moment.
No, and I understand the idea of it looks like you're driving a player into the ground, specifically a quarterback. That's pretty straightforward in a world of, you know, some rules having a gray area. But that one, you're absolutely right. Like, did the D lineman put his whole body weight on him just to get it? They're just reacting in real time. There's not even – so you want to think that there's thought about it, premeditated, and there just isn't. This game happens so fast, and these athletes are as fast and strong as they've ever been in the history of the world, but certainly in the history of this league. And each time that there is a rule that comes out, we brought this up at one point. I was on the air in Denver talking about – when's the last time a rule favored the defense at all, other than the pass interference thing that kind of went away because they realized they didn't legislate the rule correctly or design the rule correctly? And I think it might be, and I don't know exactly when this was, when they decided to say if the offense subs, the defense can sub too. So it has to slow you down. But that's about it. To say that that's an advantage when you look at the way they've changed defenders being able to use their hands on receivers and everything else and hitting a quarterback low. And I understand it's all in the name of player safety. As is this, tackling Derrick Henry is not easy to do. Tackling Cam Newton or a Big Ben or someone like that, or any tight end in the NFL, it's not easy to do. Tackling Travis Kelce is not easy. And if you're a 5'10 corner and you're matched up with Travis Kelce or he's in the open field, you're going to get him down however you can.
Right.
And now you have to be even more creative and, I guess, keep rolling to make sure you're not using your body weight or keep a leg. I don't know. It's going to be fascinating to see how it's called.
Yeah, and the interesting thing about that is that all these rules, we say this every year, the rules favor the offense, yet we've seen less points scored over the last 4 years. In the NFL, one of the things they're going to try and figure out while they're here in Orlando is how can we change that? And it is interesting that in an era of offense and rules favoring the offense and really hand-tying the defense, that defenses have still been so good. I mean, it probably speaks to the talent in the league or the talent among defensive coordinators.
And to take it one step further, the fact that, and it always comes back to the quarterback, right? And I'm sure I've brought this up on your show before. There just aren't that many, we know there aren't that many great quarterbacks. There aren't that many good quarterbacks. And there really never have been. It's, you've got your tiers, and I don't want to get into the way Mike Sando, and he's obviously floating around here from The Athletic, but he has these quarterback tiers where he surveys as many coaches and league execs as he can. But Patrick Mahomes is in his own top tier, and then Joe Burrow's probably next with Josh Allen. And we can get into, but it's like five or six, seven guys that every team wants right now that would happily take. And then you've got the next set of guys like, oh, let's see, the C.J. Strouds of the world, and can Jalen Hurts get back to that? But in general, we can name all the good quarterbacks, let alone great quarterbacks now, and I just did it, basically. I mean, you could throw a couple more names in. All time, we can do that, too. And there's a reason only a handful of guys with gold jackets.
Yeah, I think there's only 26 quarterbacks in the Hall of Fame.
There's only seven first rounders since the leagues merged. As it stands today, that's going to go up with Aaron Rodgers and just call it Eli, Big Ben.
Mahomes eventually,
but even in the short term, Phillip Rivers, Matt Ryan, Matt Stafford, just for the sake of that. Yeah. Hey, Andrew Luck's not getting in now. Cam Newton's not. Like, there's a pretty big gap until Mahomes, and we'll see about the rest of those guys, like I mentioned. But that'll get you to 14 since 1970, and it's 2024. And so it's hard to get it right. And it's crazy because with these kids growing up with seven-on-seven leagues and passing and understanding how to actually look at film or read a defense way more than they did 20 years ago, 30 years ago, we still can't find, there's 360 million people in America and we can't find 32 good quarterbacks. But that's also the reason why I think offenses are limited, because guys can only do so much against bigger, faster, stronger athletes that are creative and can fool you, because even though you're smart on a Wunderlich test or the S2 test or your teammates love you or you're full of intangibles, you've got a big-time arm, be able to put it all together when there's chaos around you. Like, that's I talked to a scout who told me Bo Nix is really good till stuff breaks down. Great. What does that mean?
He's Derek
Carr, right? Like, I can get a throw-off if I have time and an open receiver, and, you know, I'm going to be 46 years old on Sunday, and I'm 5'8 on my best day. But the point being, everybody's fine. Things are going well. I need to know how things are going to go when it's not working out the way you had it planned. It's Mike Tyson line, right? Like, everybody has a game plan until you get punched in the mouth. And that's exactly what the NFL is every play.
Yeah, yeah, just the constant beating. Brandon Crisall, KOA Colorado, and the Fox Sports Radio NFL reporter on site here at the NFL owners' meetings. An exciting time being out here. I look forward to the cocktail party later. We'll let you get back to it.
Thanks, BK. Great to see you in person.
It is a pleasure.
Look forward to having a handful of drinks. I hope that it's such a good time that you have to take an Uber or a Lyft home.
That would be ideal. Today's episode of the Zoneheads Orlando podcast brought to you by Authentic Audio Productions, your go-to source for audio production of any kind. We'll even produce your very own podcasts. Let Authentic Audio be your guide. Go to the website, get a feel for what we offer, AuthenticAudioPro.com. Follow the show, keep up on Facebook by becoming a certified Zonehead, also on Instagram and on YouTube. Thanks so much for checking out today's episode. We continue this week. Tomorrow, Greg Rhodes has you covered with the stories that go underreported here in Central Florida. Chat soon, Zoneheads.